Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Oh, yeah, no, nightmare. Nightmare scenario. Past John Henry, I think we all would have been excited. Even around the time he bought the Boston Globe, that was civic-minded, you know, local steward John Henry. We would love that. Today's John Henry, who seems, like, physically repulsed by the idea of spending money on his teams, what's he going to do with a $300 million luxury tax? Here's one thing about Henry. Nothing drove him crazier over the years, even when they were spending, yes, like paying out luxury tax payments to other teams that weren't spending, and to suddenly have $300 million that he needs to come up with. Remember what happened with Mookie Betts? There would be like four Mookie Betts on the Celtics, and they would all be gone. It would be terrible. No, thank you.
Welcome back to Jones and Mego with Arcan. No Jones, no Arcan. Megan Ottolini here with Travis Thomas from Nesson. We'll be holding you down for the next hour. If you want to chime in with any thoughts on the Red Sox taking on the Yankees this weekend, hopefully saving what's been a very good season so far and convincing everybody at the trade deadline to spend some money, maybe you want to talk about the Celtics and the possibility of John Henry owning the Celtics, call in 617-779-7937. Let's not get particular, but I guess it would be owning a couple shares of the Celtics. We'll get into the latest from Dan Shaughnessy from the Boston Globe about how many shares Wick Grosbeck and his family actually have in the Celtics, because he had an interesting column. But I did want to highlight this. Yep. I teased this right before the break. This is from Jed McCaffrey from The Athletic and New York Times. She tweeted this just a couple minutes ago. She said, with news of a majority sale of the Boston Celtics earlier this week, there's been some speculation. Yeah. On whether John Henry / Fenway Sports Group would be interested in expanding their ownership group. Reached for comment, here's the response. So this is the response from whoever at Fenway Sports Group. Quote, we commend Wick Grosbeck, his family, and their partners for the remarkable stewardship of the Boston Celtics, an organization that means so much to the city of Boston and countless fans across New England and the globe. Under their leadership, the Celtics have been part of the city's remarkable golden age of sports, marked not only by champion success on the court, but also through their exemplary community engagement. We greatly admire and respect the Celtics organization, its players, and its amazing fans, but have no comment on the forthcoming bidding process. To which I say, so you're saying there's going to be a bidding process.
Yeah. So this goes against my theory all along, where I thought Steve Pagliuca was going to be in position as one of Wick's boys. He's already on and part of the ownership group. He was very verbal, very open when this news came out that Wick was selling. And he literally, I think, tweeted like an emoji, like a hand up, like, I'm going to be involved in this. Don't you worry. So I just felt like from the beginning, passing out damn near $1 billion of contracts for these players, and then the same day announcing or half a billion, and then the same day announcing that you're going to sell, I was like, this feels like an inside job. This isn't going to be open to all the highest bidders. It's not going to market per se. This is going to be something that's just passed along amongst the ownership group. But, you know, you start hearing reports that it could indeed go to market, and then you hear that comment. I have someone in mind who, if this does happen,
if it goes to market, it doesn't just pass over to Pag fans.
That's right.
The shares basically go to the highest bidder,
which I prefer, by the way. I'd rather it just stay in house, but because this is obviously Wick's baby and he's done a great job, and so I'd rather have someone involved who understands that, and it's their baby too, if that makes sense. But if it does go to the open market, there's a gentleman who's been trying for years now to get into ownership as it pertains to sports. Byron Allen is his name. The only reason I'm familiar with him is because I was still in D.C. when the Commanders thing was going on, and when they finally ran Dan Snyder out of town. And this guy had a lot of juice. He had a lot to him, to his name. He's worth close to $1 billion. I think the last time I looked, he was somewhere in the $800 million range. But whoever his group was of investors, they were essentially outbid by Josh Harris, who eventually got the Commanders. But doing some background on him, he's a media mogul. He owns a Weather Channel. He's got a bunch of stuff that he owns, like all these guys. But he got his money through the media. He is also, I see, he's made offers to try and buy BET, some Disney networks, and then the Commanders, as I said. So what I don't know is, did you just want to own an NFL team, which mm-hmm. is fair.
NBA is a different, it's a whole different market.
But if it's I want to own a sports franchise, then I would like for him to throw his name in the hat. Again, his name's Byron Allen.
What's the net worth? Do you have anything ballpark?
I'm seeing conflicting. I'm seeing 735, and then I'm seeing $900 million. So that's why I said close to a billy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously he has a group of investors that would go in with him. So
I gotcha.
So I would like to see him take a shot here at the Celtics. And one of the reasons is because at that point you have a black owner in the NBA. I mean, that would be tremendous, especially the Boston Celtics organization. I would love to see that. I would love to see that type of history be made. I don't know the guy personally. I've seen a ton of interviews with him. Seems to be really cool. I think that would go a long way for the NBA and a long way for the Boston Celtics if we can make that happen.
Certainly. The Celtics have a history of firsts.
That's right.
In that department, and it would be another
right.
feather in the cap
That's
of
right.
what's a really cool thing for this franchise. Again, Jen McCaffrey from The Athletic and New York Times just tweeting out that she reached out to FSG for comment on possibly buying up some of those shares and the ownership stakes in the Celtics. They said no comment about the upcoming bidding process.
No comment.
Which I just don't even want to hear about a possible bidding process. I'd rather just move over to Pag's hands. And that brings me to this column from Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe today. So Shaughnessy, while we were all sitting on beaches or watching fireworks and, you know, eating hot dogs and knocking back drinks, Shaughnessy's out there, boots on the ground, or at least working the phone, trying to get some clarity on not only what's going to happen with the shares in the Celtics ownership, who they're going to and when, but how many shares there are. So here's what he wrote. He said, in conversations with some sources close to the situation, I've come away convinced that soon-to-be 90-year-old H. Irving Grosbeck is the one driving this sale. Mm. And that 63-year-old son, Wick, one of four children, managing partner, governor, and CEO of the Celtics, always identified as the team's owner, actually owns a relatively small stake in the franchise. So if that's true, it clears one thing up. We've been sitting here all week, for the most part, going, did Wick basically dangle this out to someone?
Right.
Did he go to a Wynn type family, a casino magnate, and say, hey, I see the writing on the wall with the way that this value is going, and now's the time to sell, so come and get it? Or was this truly some kind of estate planning function, which is what they said in the statement, and felt a little hollow at the time? Sounds like from Shaughnessy's reporting that there's at least some of that that's bearing out to be true. So he goes on to say that he emailed the elder Grosbeck, so H. Irving, late Wednesday requesting comment, got a polite no comment, when he texted Wick asking, hey, are you okay if I say your personal stake in this team is less than 2%? Wick wrote back, quote, we hold as a family, all unified. We are a family, and I also have a Celtics family, is my comment. Thanks. So, like, a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, no answer.
But I think it does clear up, okay, it sounds like these shares, this stake, is mostly the elder Grosbeck. Maybe it's out of Wick's hands. Maybe it's not because he wants to go expand the tequila empire and create more sitcoms that fit more in the 1994 landscape of television. But it's because this is more about it's his dad's ownership. And Wick is just identified publicly as the owner because he's the guy courtside. He's the guy who calls into the Greg Hill show. And he's the guy that you see on the podium after the win. And so I thought that was interesting. Clears a little bit up. And Shaughnessy also writes here that according to The Athletic, Pagliuca bought up an 8% stake in the team from a Celtics minority investor in 2020. And so when he reached out to him, Pagliuca texts back, I am under NDA at this point, so I can't talk, sorry.
Of course you
Which
are.
Makes me happy, because if there's an NDA, then perhaps, look, maybe they're all under NDAs and they can't say anything. But maybe it suggests that he's in a serious position to buy up some of these stakes, and most of ownership will stay in the same hands that it has been in.
Listen, I looked up this tequila because I didn't know.
Okay. Are you a tequila guy?
I am.
I'm a tequila girl.
Okay, we got to try this. Sincoro tequila? I've never even heard of it, but
do we have tequila?
He's got a bunch of partners, one in which you will know, named Michael Jordan.
Yes.
They all own this tequila, so I'm going to try this now. I'm actually, when we leave here, Mago, just so you know, like, I'm headed straight to the liquor store.
Okay,
and
good plan.
And picking up dinner, as I told you. So I will check it out, and I will send you a review if it's even in there. It looks, by the packaging, Mago, it looks very fancy, very high-end.
That's, kind of that's how you get into the tequila business now. It's got to beat Casamigos. George
well,
Clooney's
I love Casamigos.
Everybody loves Casamigos.
The kind of joints that I frequent, I don't know if they're going to have this in there, but I will check.
Okay, so we're gonna continue our deep research into this tequila, because it's honestly, it's an angle of the Celtics sale that we haven't really explored, and it might need to be explored further over the weekend. Right after trending, we're going to get deeper into the Celtics sale, and we're also going to turn to Megsplaining, talk about some of the biggest summer blockbusters, because I watched one last night and I was thinking it's going to be a while before this one gets unseated. I think this may be the biggest one of all time. But first, we got a trend with Joe Braverman.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download. This is Jones and Mecco on WEEI.
Are the Sixers now good enough to overtake the Celtics?
No, they're not, and neither are the Knicks. I think Boston's on an island by themselves right now. I think the window to overtake Boston is going to be in 2025-26, when possibly the Celtics team could break up because of finances.
I want to keep a little time with you. A little salt and a lime will do.
This doesn't surprise me. That the show has turned almost completely over to just ranking tequilas and grading tequilas. Lots of suggestions from the text line if you want to jump in. 37937.
It's July 5th. What do you want?
I know.
Facts.
Hey, it's not May 5th. If you like tequila, you should try Ghost Tequila. Ghost Tequila is actually my favorite tequila.
I tried it.
Super spicy.
I like it.
Not like a jalapeno spice. It's okay. like a pure kick. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Says that Wick's tequila. What's it called again?
I don't know. I had it.
Bring it up. I forget the word. A couple people saying that's very delicious, and it's definitely better than Casamigos. So that's a high bar. I find Casamigos to be very smooth. Got a little bit of a vanilla taste, but I like the Blanco tequila.
I do too.
So what was the name of his?
Sincoro.
Sincoro. With a C.
Yeah, and it's a fancy, like the packaging's very fancy. Very upscale, classy joint.
What's the one that comes in the white bottle with the blue writing on it? The like. Blue?
Oh, yeah, that one goes off in the clubs.
Casa something.
Okay, so this is...
That one's really fancy.
Wick's partners in this. I told you Jordan, right?
Yeah.
Jordan, Jeter, Serena, Dustin Johnson... Keegan Bradley and Michael Strahan.
This is just a group of very famous athletes.
Yeah, pretty much.
it's just a famous athlete tequila.
You guys want to start a tequila? Sure, go for it. Send me some bottles. That's it. That's how that works.
So you're the betting guy. I'm putting you on the spot here. Do you have any updated odds on who might be the potential owner for the Celtics? Because honestly, I'm coming while you effort to find that. I'm coming away from this feeling a lot more, and maybe it's rare that a Dan Shaughnessy column makes you feel better about the standings of Boston sports.
Yeah.
And in reading his efforts to reach out to the Grosbeck family and Pagliuca, the name will always trip me.
I say Pagliuca.
Pagliuca, that's what it is.
Oh, I said it right.
Yeah, okay. People call him Pags, but it's Pagliuca.
Okay,
so now we know that he's under NDA. And I'm a little worried that there may be a bidding process because I don't want Fenway Sports Group anywhere near this.
Sure.
You hear John Tomasi a couple minutes ago talking about what a disaster that ownership group would be in the NBA. The idea of four Mookie Betts type contracts and all of them walking out the door forever. No, thank you. I would rather it be with the current group, the hands that it's in. If it's not going to be Wick's hands, then at least it's the guy who's been seemingly his right hand guy in Pagliuca's hands. And so I hope that that's the way it goes. But do we have any current odds on who would be the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak?
Guess who's the leader at minus 150, which is a pretty good favorite.
Pagliuca?
Pagliuca.
Okay.
We can all breathe easy. Just don't do it in that microphone like I told you in break.
I'm a little concerned about the backstory of this.
We can all breathe easy. Steve Pagliuca. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but he's a betting favorite.
So who is behind him in the odds? Is anyone else minus odds?
Let's see here. Let me open this up. I know this is riveting radio for all of you. Bear with me.
We got Steve Pagliuca. Assuming he'd keep them in TD Garden, it would mostly
Larry Ellison,
okay.
Co-founder of Oracle.
Yeah, he's just a rich guy who's had his name out there in other teams. He tried to get on the Golden State Warriors. I think that's why he keeps popping up.
He's the next favorite at +300.
So that's a pretty big gap.
And he's got the cash.
Yeah, he's
worth over $150 billion.
That's ridiculous.
Abigail Johnson, Boston native CEO of Fidelity is next at +.
I don't think she's expressed a lot of interest in owning a sports team, though.
She's 8-1. Jeremy Jacobs, Bruins.
That's just the building connection.
And then Jeff Bezos.
Who's everywhere and apparently took out stakes of whatever worth $5 billion.
All right, we got long shots here. You want to play this game?
These have been super goofy, but yes.
They're very goofy.
This is a very serious July 5th radio show. And if you want to throw out goofy names, I guess we'll derail the whole program by talking about spicy tequila and long shot owners.
Brady, 25-1.
Mm-hmm.
Damon and Ben Affleck, 25-1. Dana, so very important they're together. It's not.
I know. Can they do anything apart? Apparently not, judging by Affleck's current status with J-Lo. It's a little sad.
I blame him, by the way.
Everybody does.
Dana White, 25-1. Robert Kraft, 25-1. Dave Portnoy, 50-1. Bill Simmons, 75-1.
These are totally silly.
These are ridiculous.
All due respect to their net worth, but I think you'd have to cobble together like 7 or 8 of those people.
It's worth note, Fenway Sports Group, 9-1.
9-1. So I feel that's probably dropped since.
This is as of yesterday.
Okay.
This is updated.
I think when we talked about this on Tuesday, it had dropped a little bit. So again, I think that's moving in the right direction. Yeah. John Henry, Jeremy Jacobs, these are not the names that you want around the Celtics.
Right.
Jeremy Jacobs would certainly just be doing it for TD Garden so that it wouldn't be a situation where, worst case scenario for him, a casino magnate would be coming in, building a casino with a Celtics arena in it. And then not only do the Jacobs family lose the Celtics as tenants and all the, you know, gate prices, all the revenue that they get from Celtics games, but then they have a competitor in the concert arena, another destination for concerts and shows and whatever to come through. And so it's a double loss for them. So I understand why his name would be out there. But I think anybody who's a serious Bruins fan that has a somewhat passing interest in the Celtics would not like to see that either. So I understand why he's out there. Not what I'm looking for. Hopefully, again, if you've read any of this Dan Shaughnessy column, if you usually avoid him, I'd recommend you read this one in the Globe. Because it sounds like one... we have determined that it seems that Wick is not the driving force behind selling this. It's his dad, okay? It's the original buyer who says, you know, like, it's time for him to get out. It's family planning. It's estate planning, whatever you want to call it. And two, it sounds like it's going to Pagliuca, hopefully, fingers crossed that that's the plan.
Best case scenario.
As he signaled on the day when they announced that they were selling those shares, that he kind of wants to throw his hat in the ring and take in more of a stake of that. So we'll see where that goes. What are you efforting to over there?
I'm trying to find the tweet because he was very, he was basically like, I'm going to aggressively, like I'm trying to find the wording that he used, but it was enough for me, for my antennas to go up of like, yeah, I don't really believe that this is going to go to like some open market highest bidder thing. It was very much just like, you know, I know everyone's freaking out about the news today, but like, relax. Like, I'm here. I'm going to be very aggressive in getting this.
It also would make me feel a lot better about the contracts that they just gave out, particularly to Derek White and Jason Tatum, because it would make me feel like there's somebody who is in the current ownership group who'd be rolling that over into the next ownership group who had a hand in these signings. That it's not just Wick Grosbeck signing basically a bunch of checks that he doesn't have the cash and getting out the door before they kick in.
That's right.
That it would be him doing that in conjunction with Paliuka and the other minority owners, and that they would be saying, yeah, we're on board for this plan going forward, and we have an idea of what's going to happen past 2025. That it's not just at 2025, everything comes to a screeching halt, and then everything blows up internally because of financials, which it kind of sounds like when you listen to the national shows, that's what everybody else is predicting for the Celtics. I would like them to have a longer tail than that.
By the way, it was not Twitter. My man has not tweeted since 2015, so I saw
good
it from somewhere
him.
Else. I know.
It must have been a statement
like
released.
If you weren't in this field, mm-hmm. would you be on social as much?
I wouldn't be on Twitter. Absolutely not.
Oh, so what
no.
would you be on?
I might do Instagram, but okay. I would make my Instagram private, and okay. I would probably interact with my friends more on it.
Okay, that's yeah. interesting. If I wasn't in this, I only asked because I wouldn't do a damn thing of it.
I like keeping up with my friends, their kids, and right. I that way. But yeah, it would definitely be a different presence.
Yeah, that's why I always ask people in our field, like if we weren't in this, would you be on social as hell?
I would not be on Twitter. I would certainly not. TBD, how much further I am. Let's go into Meg splaining, please, Joe Braverman.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg's splaining.
Meg's splaining.
I was thinking about this subject in two ways. One of them being that, you know, it's summer. This is usually when we're conditioned to have these blockbuster movies come out.
Oh, yeah.
Last year it was Barbie and Oppenheimer, and
that's
people
right.
were calling it Barbenheimer.
Yeah.
So I was listening to this podcast on the way in, and they were talking about how next summer there's going to be a similar dynamic because Gladiator 2.
What?
The sequel to Gladiator is coming out on the same day as a movie that I could care less about, which is the Wicked movie. You know, the Broadway play Wicked?
I could care less, too, because I've never
heard of it. I don't care about that. But the idea is that it's like, oh, it's these two different... I guess they think Gladiator 2 goes more towards, you know, like the macho guy audience, and Wicked is kind of like Barbie. It goes more towards a female audience, although I kind of resent that because I don't like Broadway and I'm not interested in Wicked.
That would be a weird-ass conjunction to put those two names together.
But that was the point with Barbie and Oppenheimer last year, was you had these huge movies coming out on the same day, and I guess they're predicting that with these two. So instead of Barbenheimer, it'll be like a Wadiator.
Oh,
Gladiator situation. I'm only going to see Gladiator 2
Gladiator
most likely.
Gladiator 2? How do you make a sequel? I don't understand.
I think it's probably the kids or
Travis,
something.
Travis, it's Hollywood. They can make
yeah,
sequels out
exactly.
of anything.
Well said. It'll be a prequel. That's what they do too. They make it the second one, but it's really like before he
right.
became Gladiator.
So this brings me to the greatest summer blockbusters of the modern movie era. And so I take this back to the 70s. I'll say that much.
Jeez.
And I'm counting down the top five, what I consider
oh my God.
The best blockbuster movies.
We're the same age. You didn't watch any of these 70s.
Well, I watched them as a kid, though.
All right.
Okay, so I'm starting with number 5. This is Joe, the Barbie movie.
This is the best day ever.
It is the best day ever. So is yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever. Yes! You guys ever think about dying?
I had no expectations for that movie. And then everybody was like, oh, you got to go see it. You got to go see it. You got to get together with all your girlfriends and go see it. And I went and saw it with two girlfriends. And I was like, you know what? This is like a very singular movie. It is different. And I think it's like rare that you get a blockbuster that is so commercially successful and is geared towards just half the population. Because let me tell you something, when Top Gun Maverick comes out,
oh, yeah.
we all go see Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
When Barbie comes out, it takes one of us to go see it like 3 times to equal the whole population seeing Top Gun Maverick.
This is so fascinating. My wife did everything you just said. Mm-hmm. Went with her girlfriends.
I didn't get dressed up.
They wore pink.
I didn't do that. But I also saw it like a month after it came out.
So they went. She loved it. And I said, should I go see it? Or should I wait till it comes out and see it?
And did she say no?
She said no. She was like, you wouldn't like it. I said, okay. And I never saw it.
Yeah, that's what I said to my fiance. He didn't even ask. I was just like, it was really good. It's not for you.
Right.
But it was fun. And it's also not really a movie that I'll probably rewatch.
Huh.
But at the time, I'm like, great blockbuster movie, great in the theater movie, great experience.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to throw a hyper modern one in there.
Sure.
Let's kick it back a little bit further. As you said, this is a movie that I'm pretty sure I wasn't alive
right.
when it came out.
70s.
But it was big.
All right.
Let's go to Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ark. It is something that man was not meant to disturb. An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
Indiana Jones!
Let her go.
Okay. So this movie, I watched a lot as a little kid,
same.
Including, spoiler alert, the faces melting at the end. I don't think I understood 90% of the movie. And the part that I liked the most was when Marianne, the lead actress in it, yeah. she owns some kind of bar that's like near, I don't know, Mount Everest or something,
right.
random. And she drinks that guy under the table because they go shot for shot with tequila.
I remember that.
None of it makes sense. But to me as a little kid, I was like, she's the coolest. I want to be her.
Yeah, I like.
So you were into tequila very early on.
I don't even know if it was tequila. It might have been whiskey. I don't know what it was.
I mean, Temple of Doom, Ark. I always liked
Raiders is so much better than the other Indiana Jones movies.
I liked Crusade too because I was like a little bit older. Like, So I'm looking at the years these came out.
When
was 89.
Raiders come out?
Raiders. Let's see when Raiders came out. So, okay, here we go. Temple of Doom was 84. Raiders was 81. Jeez.
Damn. So that's almost 70s.
And then Crusade was 89. I feel like I was, at that point, I was like seven or eight. So I was starting to kind of get it a little bit better.
Anyway, I also thought that Indiana, definitely there was a portion of my life when I was a very little kid where I thought Indiana Jones was like a real person. Because you know when you're learning about all those, you're learning about like all those people in school and you're not sure if they're real or not, like Johnny Appleseed and Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know who's real and who's
Where's
not.
Where's the part where Paul Revere gets chased by a boulder?
That's right.
I thought that Indiana Jones might have was just like,
That's
you know,
natural.
This sexy professor who went out and explored for the Ark of the Covenant.
It's natural, though. My kids, when we watch a non-cartoon anything,
it
my daughter
real.
Goes, is this real? Did this really happen, Dad? And I always go, no, it's just make-believe.
So this brings us to our third movie, which if you've ever listened to Christian Fourier, once asked, how realistic are these Jurassic Park movies?
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
We've made living biological attractions so astounding that they'll capture the imagination of the entire planet.
The most phenomenal discovery of our time.
How'd you do this?
Becomes the greatest adventure of all time.
Can I touch it?
Sure.
Universal Pictures presents.
You feel that?
Hold on to your butts.
A Steven Spielberg film.
Fences are failing all over the park.
Yeah, that's nice. Gotta go.
An adventure.
Look out! No!
I can't get Jurassic Park back online.
65 million years in the making.
So, I'm also, as I'm listening to these, I'm thinking like, two things. And we talked about this before on the show. Trailers don't do the big voice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do the big voiceover.
Right.
We also need to bring back movie scores like that. Like, I feel like we need more dramatic movie scores with our blockbusters.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to put out a movie that's going to be like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like it's just
epic.
Like this sweeping epic score. And we don't get those anymore.
How realistic is these Jurassic Park movies?
I just think, too, that these movies now go to Netflix or they're barely in the movie theater before they go to Netflix or Amazon or whatevs. So you're not really getting that same vibe because these movies don't have the same type of path or journey that a Jurassic Park did. That was such a major movie. It was an epic. It was so ahead of its time. It was so different than anything else out. I still remember the commercials for Jurassic Park where the water's just like trembling.
Right.
And
in
they're
the glass.
And they're giving you the idea that a T-Rex.
And they had the flashlight.
Yeah. So
all right.
It was awesome.
We got two more that we need to get
that's
to
epic.
Real quick. This next one. This came out when I was in college, and I just remember it was all anybody talked about for weeks on end.
All right.
Evening, Commissioner. Why so serious?
Where is he?
People are dying. What would you have me do?
Endure. You can be the outcast. You can make the choice that no one else will face. The right choice. Gotham needs you.
A little fight in you. I like that.
Then you're gonna love me.
All right, so Dark Knight, and that brings us, I feel like we've actually talked about The Dark Knight a decent amount on this program, so I'm going to move on, because this is the movie I watched last night, and we make it a little bit of a tradition to watch it on July 4th. It's not a unique idea.
Rocky Four?
No, this is...
That's just me?
This one will never be unseated.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution. Without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything.
I like the idea. Like, first of all, I wasn't alive when that came out, but the idea that it was like, the shark has no logic.
Yeah.
That's the scariest thing about it. This shark could never be in a courtroom.
Right.
The shark will lose every argument. It's like, why do I care if the shark has logic under it? Like, it's a big scary shark with horrible giant teeth and it wants to eat you. But again, watched it last night. Holds up for the most part. I know the shark at the end doesn't look good.
Right.
But it's 1975.
75.
The acting and everything holds up. That one, it's going to be tough to unseat it, and they better not ever try to make it. Keep making those Meg movies about the giant sharks.
You talk about, too, the trailer, the voiceover, the music, the epic music. There it is. It's all there.
There it is. All right. We have one more segment for you to go, and then we're going to hand it over to Joe Weil. He's going to have a quick sprint for you up to the Red Sox-Yankees game. Huge game, but get in any last-minute comments you want on this weekend coming up. Red Sox in the Bronx, 617-779-7937, and we will be right back.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
The song's for us and anybody else who's working on the 5th of July. You're the heroes out there. Textline has a good point. Another major summer blockbuster, Independence Day. I had to show that to my fiance for the first time last year.
Quick quiz, which summer blockbuster is this from?
This is Dirty Dancing.
You're on the right track, Travis.
Flash Dance?
No.
Dirty Dance.
I don't know. What
Ghost.
Is it?
Footloose.
This is from Footloose?
Swayze.
I actually don't think I've ever seen Footloose.
I probably it's okay, when neither I was young.
I just That's know that 80s. they're not allowed to dance in the town, and then they all dance down the hallway and
you
stuff.
You know all this?
I've never seen it, though. I'm just aware of the plot.
Yeah, I feel like I probably saw it as a kid.
I've seen a lot of 80s movies. Yeah. I went through a phase where I was like, loved all the 80s. You know, John
Ghostbusters.
Hughes. Well, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, all of those. And that one just got by me.
I was a 90s, like, action kid.
Okay, so like is that like
Sly,
Jean-Claude Van
Arnold,
Damme?
Jean-Claude, Steven Seagal. That was like my wheelhouse.
I don't think I even know who most of those people are. I just know the names, and I feel like they all have disformed faces from being like punched in the face a lot.
It's a great observation. So, you're absolutely right.
So this is usually the time in the show where we do bet roulette, where we all pick bets. And we're really bad at predicting these bets. So we usually come up with a completely ridiculous parlay.
Yeah.
But you're an actual gambling expert.
Well, I'm a gambler.
It's a big part of your job at Nesson. So if you were going to pick out a bet or more.
Yeah.
You know, one or more bets this weekend. Doesn't have to be Yankees, Red Sox, Red Sox, Yankees.
Well, it is.
Okay. What are you looking at? What would you tell the people to put some money on?
So here's what's interesting, right? Now that I'm talking in this forum, I would only give out what I actually bet, like with my own money. You know, if you're doing a show on betting, you're giving out a ton of plays. And what's funny is when I would hit bets, I would get some messages. Hey, Trav, thanks, man. You know, I played. I tailed you on whatever bet you gave out. But most of the time you would get hate. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. I bet this because you said. It's like, bro, I give out.
Yeah, because you lost people money.
Right. But I get.
You're supposed to be the expert.
In a 30-minute show or two 30-minute shows, I mean, think about how many bets I'm giving out. Some of them I don't even play personally. So this one that I'm going to give you all is one that I actually put my own money on, which is why I'm doing it. And I'm telling you, you know, the Yankees are going the opposite direction of the Red Sox right now. 2-8 in their last 10. They've been a mess. Red Sox, obviously, we know, winners of 4 in a row, 7-3 in their last 10. I do understand the game, these games, this series is in the Bronx. But at the same time, I like what I'm getting in terms of a hot Red Sox team. And I like what I'm seeing in terms of a struggling Yankees team. So instead of betting individual games, there's a market where you can just bet the series overall.
Okay.
So a lot of times I find better value in betting that. And this is a case. The Yankees are heavily favored to win the series. So take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. So if you're with me and you think the Sox are going to get 2 out of 3 or they're going to sweep them, I think they're going to get 2 out of 3. You can bet the Red Sox to win the series at plus money, plus 165 right now, which is a beautiful price. If you believe that the Yankees will continue to struggle and the Sox will continue to be hot, you're not concerned of which game is what, you're not betting individual games, you're not betting on a Sox sweep, you're just betting on them to win the series, plus 165. That's my favorite bet of the weekend.
I like that. See, I don't think about in terms, I know that baseball managers, baseball players think about the season in terms
That's
of
right.
series rather than games, mm-hmm. individual games. But when you think about gambling,
That's right.
I don't know. I think about it like any other game. Like, okay, tonight you plunk down this cash on that
That's right.
and it hits or it doesn't hit. But it's like almost a little bit more of a future.
Exact. That's exactly what it is. I'll give you another one to think about, too. You can start playing some of these teams to make or miss the playoffs. The Red Sox right now, still beautiful price, plus 140 to make the
still
playoffs.
Plus money.
Still plus money.
So when, from your opinion,
yeah.
do you think that that has more to do with like the Fangraphs aspect of it, where they're about 41% to make the playoffs, so it's still plus money because of that? Because I would say like if you look at them sitting in the wild card spot, that you would hope that it would be a little bit better odds than that in Vegas.
I think it's timing. I think if the Sox continue to kick everyone's butt here and they stay hot and they keep climbing, then that price goes away. That's what it is. I mean, Vegas is just going to react to the reality of what's going on. So right now, plus 140. I mean, listen, if you had bet this at the beginning of the season, you would have got a beautiful price. So plus 140, technically, it has moved. But, you know, one plus 140 right now, I would say, is still a really good price. So I think getting it now is smart. If you had bet this before the season, you're really smart, but I didn't have the stones to do that. But plus 140 to make the playoffs feels like the timing to do it now, because if they continue to win, this price will not be that good.
But your bet for this series, it's plus
165. Yankees are minus 200 favorites. I just think that's ridiculous.
Have the apps gotten your wife into betting at all?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a completely... I was betting before she met me, and so
and
I
you'll be
kept
betting.
It, yeah, I kept
for
it
the
that
foreseeable
way.
Future.
I did not want to bring her into that.
Okay,
I didn't want to cause
say,
any issues.
I do have some female friends who
yeah.
have really gotten way more into local sports because of the betting apps,
betting. Yeah.
And I like that for them.
Yeah,
I don't have it for me personally. I got to save my money for a big event that's coming up in the next couple
that's
weeks.
That's a fact.
So I can't be playing with it right now, but maybe in the future. And when that happens, I will be looking to you, Travis Thomas.
Let's go.
Of Nesson. Thank you so much for,
thank you.
For joining
Come
me.
On.
Tell the people where they can get you on Nesson and where else they can catch you on EEI.
Well, you can't miss me on Nesson. Just check it out anytime, 24/7, true story. I was actually on 2 seconds ago here in studio.
Just
I saw
it.
But follow me on social media. That's the best bet, @ Travis Thomas Experience.
All
I'm
right,
on Twitter
Travis.
And IG.
Travis, thank you so much, and thank you all. God bless you. You've been working this July 5th. If you haven't, hopefully you've been enjoying yourself. Joe Weil has you running up to the Red Sox-Yankees game at 7:05. He'll be on in just a minute. That's you the pumpkin market.
See the greatest gift for me.
I don't
for
know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Excuse me.
Having some ice cream with Jose Iglesias?
Yeah.
We had tequila.
It is. Excuse me.
Tequila.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
This song's for us and anybody else who's working on the 5th of July. You're the heroes out there. Textline has a good point. Another major summer blockbuster, Independence Day.
Oh, I had to welcome show to
that,
Earth.
I had to show that to my fiancé for the first time last year.
Quick quiz, which summer blockbuster is this from?
This is Dirty Dancing.
You're on the right track, Travis.
Flash Dance.
No.
Dirty Dance.
I don't know. What
Ghost.
Is it?
Footloose.
This is from Footloose?
I was thinking Swayze.
I actually don't think I've ever seen Footloose.
I probably was young.
I just know that they're not allowed to dance in the town, and then they all dance down the hallway and
you
stuff.
You know all this?
I've never seen it, though. I'm just aware of the plot.
Yeah, I feel like I probably saw it as a kid.
I've seen a lot of 80s movies. Yeah. I went through a phase where I was like, loved all the 80s. You know, John
Ghostbusters.
Hughes. Well, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, all of those. And that one just got by me.
I was a 90s like action kid.
Okay, so like, is that like
Sly,
Jean-Claude Van
Arnold,
Damme?
Jean-Claude, Steven Seagal. That was like my wheelhouse.
I don't think I even know who most of those people are. I just know the names, and I feel like they all have disformed faces from being like punched in the face a lot.
It's a great observation. So, you're absolutely right.
So this is usually the time in the show where we do bet roulette, where we all pick bets, and we're really bad at predicting these bets. So we usually come up with a completely ridiculous parlay.
Yeah.
But you're an actual gambling expert.
Well, I'm a gambler.
It's a big part of your job at Nesson. So if you were going to pick out a bet or more.
Yeah.
You know, one or more bets this weekend. Doesn't have to be Yankees, Red Sox, Red Sox, Yankees.
Well, it is.
Okay. What are you looking at? What would you tell the people to put some money on?
So here's what's interesting, right? Now that I'm talking in this forum, I would only give out what I actually bet, like with my own money. You know, if you're doing a show on betting, you're giving out a ton of plays. And what's funny is, when I would hit bets, I would get some messages. Hey, Trav, thanks, man. You know, I played. I tailed you on whatever bet you gave out. But most of the time, you would get hate. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. I bet this because you said. It's like, bro, I give out.
Yeah, because you lost people money.
Right. But I get.
You're supposed to be the expert.
In a 30-minute show or two 30-minute shows, I mean, think about how many bets I'm giving out. Some of them I don't even play personally. So this one that I'm going to give you all is one that I actually put my own money on, which is why I'm doing it. And I'm telling you, you know, the Yankees are going the opposite direction of the Red Sox right now. 2-8 in their last 10. They've been a mess. Red Sox, obviously, we know, winners of 4 in a row, 7-3 in their last 10. I do understand the game, these games, this series is in the Bronx. But at the same time, I like what I'm getting in terms of a hot Red Sox team. And I like what I'm seeing in terms of a struggling Yankees team. So instead of betting individual games, there's a market where you can just bet the series overall.
Okay.
So a lot of times I find better value in betting that. And this is a case. The Yankees are heavily favored to win the series. So take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. So if you're with me and you think the Sox are going to get 2 out of 3 or they're going to sweep them, I think they're going to get 2 out of 3. You can bet the Red Sox to win the series at plus money, plus 165 right now, which is a beautiful price. If you believe that the Yankees will continue to struggle and the Sox will continue to be hot, you're not concerned of which game is what, you're not betting individual games, you're not betting on a Sox sweep, you're just betting on them to win the series, plus 165. That's my favorite bet of the weekend.
I like that. See, I don't think about in terms, I know that baseball managers, baseball players think about the season in terms of series rather than games, individual games. But when you think about gambling, I don't know. I think about it like any other game. Like, okay, tonight you plunk down this cash on that and it hits or it doesn't hit. But it's like almost a little bit more of a future.
That's exactly what it is. I'll give you another one to think about, too. You can start playing some of these teams to make or miss the playoffs. The Red Sox right now, still beautiful price, plus 140 to make the playoffs.
Still plus money.
Still plus money.
So when, from your opinion, do you think that that has more to do with like the FanGraphs aspect of it, where they're about 41% to make the playoffs, so it's still plus money because of that? Because I would say, like, if you look at them sitting in the wild card spot, that you would hope that it would be a little bit better odds than that in Vegas.
I think it's timing. I think if the Sox continue to kick everyone's butt here and they stay hot and they keep climbing, then that price goes away. That's what it is. I mean, Vegas is just going to react to the reality of what's going on. So right now, plus 140, I mean, listen, if you had bet this at the beginning of the season, you would have got a beautiful price. So plus 140, technically, it has moved. But, you know, plus 140 right now, I would say, is still a really good price. So I think getting it now is smart. If you had bet this before the season, you're really smart, but I didn't have the stones to do that. But plus 140 to make the playoffs feels like the timing to do it now, because if they continue to win, this price will not be that good.
But your bet for this series, it's plus 165.
Yankees are minus 200 favorites. I just think that's ridiculous.
Have the apps gotten your wife into betting at all?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a completely... I was betting before she met me, and so
and
I
you'll
kept
be betting.
It, yeah, I kept
for
it
the
that
foreseeable
way.
Future.
I did not want to bring her into that.
Okay,
I didn't want to cause any issues.
I do have some female friends who have really gotten way more into local sports because of the betting apps, and I like that for them.
Yeah,
I don't have it for me personally. I got to save my money for a big event that's coming up in the next couple weeks.
That's a fact.
So I can't be playing with it right now, but maybe in the future. And when that happens, I will be looking to you, Travis Thomas.
Let's go.
Of Nesson. Thank you so much for, joining me. Tell the people where they can catch you on Nesson and where else they can catch you on EEI.
Well, you can't miss me on Nesson. Just check it out anytime, 24/7. True story. I was actually on 2 seconds ago here in studio.
I saw it.
But follow me on social media. That's the best bet. @ Travis Thomas Experience.
I'm on Twitter
and IG.
Travis, thank you so much, and thank you all. God bless you. You've been working this July 5th. If you haven't, hopefully you've been enjoying yourself. Joe Weil has you running up to the Red Sox-Yankees game at 7:05. He'll be on in just a minute. That's the pumpkin market.
The greatest gift will be
I don't know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Excuse me.
Having some ice cream with Jose Iglesias?
Yeah.
We had tequila.
It is. Excuse me.
Tequila.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.